song you're hearing is Fandango. As you listen to the sound of that trumpet, the style and the sound, I know a lot of you can tell me this right off. Who is the featured artist? Yes, Mr. Herb Alpert. Kind of puts you in the mind of the bullfighting, doesn't it? His style is something else. I love him. All right, so we're taking a look at some of the things that we can do to have a happy brain so that we can have a happy summer. All right, a lot of you think, okay, it's summertime. I've been working hard all year long. Now it's time for me to spend a whole lot of time chilling. And I mean chilling to the point where you're planning to have a whole lot of lazy days. Would that be a great way to have a happy brain? Actually, it would not be. The body, as we know, is designed to move. And so rather than having stretches, excessively long stretches of laziness, doing nothing, you notice I said excessively, because it really is a good idea to have some moment, some time, where you are just relaxing, you are just resting, you are chilling, so you won't be illing. You got to get to the chill in order to avoid the ill. Yeah, sometimes it's just good to just be doing nothing. And here's the thing, the harder you work, the more important it becomes to have some downtime. That said, the body isn't made to go to either extreme, excessive periods of downtime, nor excessive periods of being on the go, go, go. So we need to move. We need to exercise. And you think about what works best for you, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Mentally and emotionally, I'm really talking about what will help you be excited about moving your body? What kind of exercises really get you going? I mean, you truly look forward to doing it. It's not something that you consider a chore that you just have to do. No, some kind of exercise routine that you enjoy. Now, I slipped that word routine in there because I know that for some people, the same exercise works for them year in and year out, year after year after year. The same exercise. For some people, it's just jogging. For some people, it's just walking. For some people, it is the treadmill. And that's it. That one exercise, whatever that one exercise is all they need. And they are focused on that. That keeps them going. What about this? For some people, you need two or three different types of exercise to keep you motivated to exercise. Some people need a plethora of exercises, maybe seven or eight different kinds. And when I say seven or eight different kinds, I know that might sound extreme, but check this out. How many of you have ever gone to the gym and you've seen some people who do push-ups, they do crunches, they do sit-ups. Sit-ups and crunches are two different types of exercise, working the abs in different ways. Sometimes they'll get up on the machine that you use the horizontal parts, bars of that machine to hold your body up, keep your body in position, and they simply raise and lower their legs to work their abs. Some people do, you may see a person go in and do pull-ups or chin-ups, whichever you prefer to call them. Some people will get on the bike, the stationary bike, do their thing. Some people will get on the treadmill. Some people will get on the elliptical. The treadmill and the elliptical are two different machines that work the body in different ways. If you don't believe it, if you've been on the treadmill for 2-3 years and you've never been on the elliptical, get on that elliptical and notice how differently it works your body. Some people will go in and they'll get involved in the aerobics class. Some people will hit the weights. Some people will do a combination of all those exercises you just heard me mention. There are people who will go in there, they'll do the crunches, they'll hit the weights, they will get on the stationary bike, they'll do chin-ups. So I'm really not being facetious when I say some people need 7 or 8 different types of exercises to keep them motivated. Some people just need more variety than other people. So figure out what works for you and move your body. One of the things that the doctor recommends, Dr. Bruning recommends, is that you not worry about looking good or even quantifying your workout. She really recommends, if you can do this, swim. A lot of people have been saying this for years and years, and we know this. They'll say that swimming is one of the best exercises there is because you're working your body from head to toe. But here's the thing. She said that you really don't even have to get in that water and be an expert swimmer. Just flopping around in the water, get this, stimulates endorphins because it activates muscles that you don't usually use. Just flopping around in the water can give you an endorphin release. Endorphins help us feel good. They help us experience happiness. Flopping around in water, laughing, stimulates endorphin for the same reason. You start laughing and you release, your brain releases endorphins and you feel happy because you are happier. Moving the body, laughing, doing something that works your body in a different way. By the way, speaking of working the body in a different way, if you don't, you know, you're okay with, you know, even a little bit of variety, even every now and then, you may want to go ahead and, you know, even if you like walking and that's all you want to do, you like jogging and that's all you want to do, you want to get on that stationary bike and that's all you want to do, you really enjoy it. Every now and then, just to release some endorphins, do a different exercise, even if it's only once every other week. Even if it's once a month, I would say once every other week would be better. But again, look at what you're doing. You're empowering the brain to release endorphins. And that happens why? Because you have the body doing something that it doesn't usually do. You're activating muscles that you don't normally use. And as a result, endorphins are released. We're talking about having a happy brain. Something else that you might want to avoid doing. Avoid that end of summer droop. Yes, anticipating something good releases the great feeling of dopamine, another chemical in the brain. Summer plans feel exciting, and part of the reason that they're exciting to us, you know, it's not, it really is in our head. I mean, for real, for real. We start planning for our summer, and we begin to notice, if you pay attention, you're starting to feel happy. Why? Because your brain is releasing dopamine, which also helps us experience happiness. I told you I was going to tell you about a happy brain for a happy summer. Here's the thing. When the excitement is over, you can find yourself in a slump. So it's useful to plan something rewarding for the beginning of fall. Yeah, so summer's winding down. What can you do to make fall, the beginning of fall, exciting, rewarding, satisfying? Make it something different from your summer project because the brain saves its dopamine for new rewards. The same old thing doesn't make you feel good, but steps in a new direction get your dopamine flowing. All right, so we've talked about endorphins and we've talked about dopamine as we examine the happy brain. Avoid the fling focus in order to enjoy more oxytocin. How many of you saw the movie Summer of 42? I saw that movie years ago. It was an interesting movie. I won't go into details, But I will tell you this. There are times when people will say to themselves, think to themselves, you know, it's summertime. I'm going to be going to such and such a country or to such and such a city or such and such a cruise. I think I'm going to have some fun. And a lot of people come up with some truly great ways to have some fun. Some people come up with some very ungreat ways to have some fun. And sometimes those can include a summer sexual fling. Now, here's the thing. You all have heard me talk about oxytocin and how oxytocin can be released, is released, when we're engaged sexually. But you've also heard me talk about how it is not just when we're engaged sexually that oxytocin is released, but even when mother and child are bonding, oxytocin is released. When father and child are bonding, oxytocin is released. A human can be with their pet, especially a dog, and oxytocin can be released. Oxytocin is all about bonding. And that's why I really emphasized when I talked with you about this previously, the importance of making sure that when we're engaging in sexual intercourse, that if you are single and you're a virgin, whether male or female, if you're a virgin, wait until you're married. Because there are a lot of activities that go on that are going to happen automatically that can really make life more confusing than necessary later on in life if we've engaged in all of these bonding sessions with a number of other people before getting married. There are people who have messed their lives up bonding with folks they had no business bonding with. And when they got married, for any variety of reasons, they could not and or would not bond with their spouse. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is a good idea. If you're single and you're virgin, honor that and wait until you're married. If you're married, don't be engaged sexually with anyone but your spouse. Avoid those summer flings. It's summertime. We're talking about a happy summer. Avoid the sexual flings. I'll tell you why in just a few.